Puzzlers, magic lovers, and brain teasers unite. The Enigmatist is with us. David Kwong is a magician, a New York Times crossword puzzle constructor, a TED Talk sensation, an author, a TV and corporate consultant, and a popular presence with his Substack newsletter, Enigmatology. And he's here in Toronto for the next week. His mind-bending live show, The Enigmatist, is on stage at 1 Yonge Street, and it runs through this Sunday, June 22nd, StarVoxEnt.com. To pick up tickets, just look for StarVox Entertainment. The Enigmatist has played to sold-out crowds in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and the Kennedy Center in D.C. I caught it a couple nights ago and was thoroughly riveted, amazed, and entertained. David Kwong, The Enigmatist, welcome to The Oasis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to be with you. You explained some of your history in the show, and as we get to know you on stage, it's a very compelling tale of family and your path to becoming this guy who constructs New York Times crossword puzzles, putting on the show. So take us back.
Well, where do I begin? I think I have these two parallel hobbies, magic and puzzles, right. And later in life, I fused them together, which is how we get this cross-pollinated love of everything that is near and dear to my heart, magic, puzzles, code-breaking, history. So later in life, I fused them together. But yeah. The magic started when I was 7 years old.
Right.
And I grew up just around the lake in Rochester, New York.
Been there several times.
Yeah. And my father is from Canada. He was born in Hong Kong.
Right.
But he came over to Hamilton in 1965, went to McMaster, then U of T. And eventually, he and my mother settled in Rochester. So I was up here several times a year, and this is like a second home to me.
So you're a dual citizen, if I remember correctly.
I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I was seven, I was at a pumpkin patch picking a pumpkin for Halloween, and my father, who was a biochemist, he was with me, and we saw this magician performing at a barn. He had a bunny rabbit. I was immediately drawn to what was going on. Mm-hmm. And he performed this trick. He took a little red sponge ball, and he placed it in my hand, and he made a second one disappear. And when I opened my hand, I had two of them. And my mind was blown, of course. But then what happened changed my life forever. And he did it again, but this time he put that little red sponge ball in my father's hand. And when my father opened his hand and he suddenly had two, I turned to this omniscient person in my life. And I said, "Dad, how did that work?" And he said, "I have no idea." And that's when I knew I wanted to be a magician.
Right. So there was something fascinating about not only what you experienced, but maybe I could fool adults. Maybe I could create this magic.
And I just wrote a book called How to Fool Your Parents,
right.
Which is a kid's book of magic tricks. So I am channeling my 10-year-old self in that book. And really on stage, I think it's just channeling my 10-year-old self too.
And you sign it at the end of your shows here in Toronto. What about the puzzling? Because I think that there's so many people in the audience who show up who just love to do these types of puzzles every day. And they're kind of your people. And you really point them out and engage with them when you're there. So talk about that interest of logic and working through puzzles and ideas.
Well, if my father was the math, my mother was the verbal,
okay.
Right? So she's a history professor, and she introduced me to crosswords and Scrabble in my teenage years, and I started to play competitively. And then in my early 20s, I started constructing crosswords for the New York Times, and I still do that to this day. And I realized later in life, in my late 20s, that I could fuse those two things together and create this brand new brainy, nerdy, cerebral magic show.
Mm-hmm.
So The Enigmatist begins with a puzzle room. It's like an escape room. So yes, my people come out to this. People show up half an hour early. They solve these four puzzles. They're not too hard, I promise. No one be scared about these puzzles.
I might not have done that well with them, but
there are hints there.
Sure.
There are hints there.
I didn't look at the hints. I should find that out, yeah.
When you solve those puzzles, it's an introduction to this world that I talk about during the show. And those puzzles secretly tie into the show later, too. So I do encourage people to come early.
I should point out, too, I mean, you talk about in your early 20s getting to take part in the New York Times crossword puzzle. How do you even approach that situation? In other words, how do you get the experience that you can go at a fairly young age to the publishers there and start that relationship?
Well, I started mailing them in to the New York Times, snail mail, to Will Schwartz's house. So Will Schwartz is the crossword editor of the New York Times. He's our fearless leader.
Right.
And you learn by getting rejected a lot.
So just I had, like being an author, right?
Yeah. Eventually, I got one in the Times. I co-constructed it with a friend. And maybe that was what really helped, is my friend Kevin had had a few in the Times already. This puzzle, the first one I got in, Will looked at it and said, "This is so devious that I have to print it on April Fool's Day."
Wow.
So, and you can
see
this.
What a fascinating introduction for you into that world.
That's why there's this crossover for me of magic and puzzles.
Right.
Because it's a little story. Like, you're introducing your solver to what's going on, and then there's a little twist, and then there's this aha moment at the end as they crack the puzzle. So this April Fool's Day puzzle, the middle answer was outside the box. The clue was how you must think to solve this puzzle. Now, this puzzle was before the app. People only did it in the newspaper. And you had to write the word think. The letters T-H-I-N-K were literally spilling into the margins of the newspaper. They were breaking the border of the crossword, the box.
Right.
I'm always trying to twist the rules of the crossword, and I continue to make crazy ones to this day.
And we really get to see some degree of your prowess when it comes to that particular part of your career. If you're just joining us, David Kwong is here, the Enigmatist. He's on stage with his show at One Yonge Street through Sunday, June 22nd. I definitely recommend going StarVoxEnt.com, StarVox Entertainment. You can also have a look at his website, DavidKwongMagic.com, to learn more about his career. You know, something that you do with your TED Talks and dealing with television shows and corporations and so on, you talk about illusions and the idea of being surprised. What is the end game for those people who ask you to be a part of their world? What are they after when they bring you on board?
Well, I live in Los Angeles most of the year, and I have lots of friends who are screenwriters and directors. They're always looking for something to put into their movies and TV shows that is a cool twist involving misdirection or con games or bank heists. And I know all of this stuff because of the strange world that I live in. There's actually something called Blind Spot. And the story is about a woman who wakes up in Times Square with her memory wiped, and she's covered head to toe in tattoos. And they're like a treasure map. They're all secret codes. So my friend Dave and I, we came up with all of those secret codes and where they lead you on the adventure.
So, 100 episodes worth, no less. That's quite a project. We should point out that this show, it has a wonderful rhythm to it. It's beautifully constructed. And I've seen many different shows, kind of under this umbrella. And it just feels like you really worked hard on that. I'm wondering if you had a team or how you constructed this exactly.
I think I'm very lucky that I am on stage just being me, and I'm sharing what I love. And I love puzzles and games, and I liken all magic tricks to puzzles. And I don't pretend to have any superpowers. I'm part of this small group of magicians that acknowledges right up front that it's all tricks, it's misdirection, I'm 50 steps ahead of you, and I basically say to the audience, see if you can figure it out. I had lots of collaborators in that. When I put the show together, I would ask my very smart writer friends, screenwriter friends, to sit in the audience, and boy, did they rip that thing apart.
Right.
When I first launched the show in 2019 in New York, I did several weeks of it before they ripped it apart and I had to memorize a third of the show again. It was really painful, but the result is now I've done it in LA and at the Kennedy Center and Chicago Shakespeare Theater, and here I am in Toronto, and it's just so fun. What I love about how the show has evolved is it's become this family show. And the best thing, so you were there a couple nights ago?
I was there, I guess, I want to say Thursday night? Yeah.
The best thing is when a 10-year-old kid stands up and solves the final puzzle before any of the adults.
I know. It was such an amazing, lots of young people in the audience and people coming from other cities to see you, which is so fantastic. I mean, one of the questions people have about the show is, what is it exactly? I mean, we've talked about magic and we've talked about illusion and we've talked about puzzles. I mean, can you share a moment from the show that kind of feels signature to you that is compelling every time?
It's hard for me to even describe to my parents what I do, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is this amalgamation of magic, puzzles, cryptography, games.
And there is an overarching story you're kind of telling, too, of history.
Yes. I talk about this discovery I had where I found these two people who were America's first code breakers. And the way that they met in this strange, fantastical, and very real a state called Riverbank outside of Chicago.
I think some people wonder if it is real.
Oh, yeah, it's real. Yeah. Okay. In the early 1900s, one of them was a geneticist and one of them was a Shakespeare scholar. And they got put on this project together because there was this madman textile magnate who put them on this code-breaking project. And they fall in love and they become so good at code-breaking that the government makes them come to D.C. and they become America's first code-breakers. It's really a nerd love story.
Yeah.
And so I weave that throughout all of these tricks, and I think it's a lot of fun. The moment on stage for me that feels like I am sharing something very special with the audience is when I, at the end, build a New York Times crossword puzzle in real time.
I didn't want to give it away, but I'm glad you're bringing it up.
That's okay. There's a lot of surprises. There's plenty to see, but that is my signature effect. It's mental gymnastics. I take my prowess as a New York Times crossword constructor, a cruciverbalist is what we call ourselves, and I have a blank crossword board on the stage, and I build a crossword in real time.
It's breathtaking. It is truly breathtaking, and it was one of my, obviously, one of my favorite moments of the show. It's been really fun to meet you.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. What am I thinking right now?
It's time for some pizza.
That's a great idea. All right. Yeah. The Enigmatist on stage with his show at One Yonge Street through Sunday. I highly recommend it. And starvoxent.com to pick up tickets. DavidKwongMagic.com. You can also find the book there. David Kwong, a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.